From Lubbock to Laredo, El Paso to Houston, and Dallas to Brownsville, we're Talking Texas with Pratt on Texas.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis and no corporate management muzzle. Our Lone Star story of the day, Texas fetal heartbeat bill is working, saving lives, but media coverage ignores all the saved lives. They don't get a mention. Instead, it all focuses on the convenience or lack thereof to people who want to have a baby killed. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, providing the best service in DOT, business and personal drug and alcohol testing since 1995, AlliedCompliance.com. Big political news. I got a lot in my campaign and political news stack. State Rep Matt Krause, one of our conservative state reps, Matt Krause of Fort Worth, has jumped into the GOP primary battle to challenge Ken Paxton for attorney general. This means it's not just all the establishment types going after Paxton. It's one from the conservative realm. We'll talk about that and more. Border news and just a lot more. Listen anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your commute. Get the podcast of today's show at PrattOnTexas.com. It is, my friends, as always, a great day to be a Texan. We are loaded up. Be ready to listen fast. Anytime I take time to focus on an issue, as I did yesterday on two issues, then I end up overwhelmed with other things the next day. Let's try to get through some of the big headlines around the state you need to know. Star County, down in the Rio Grande Valley, the McAllen Monitor reporting that Precinct 4 Justice of the Peace Roel Valadez, not Valdez, but Valadez, was arrested shortly after 6 this morning in his Santa Leia Drive residence in Rio Grande City by the feds. This was a big, big deal. A bunch of law enforcement agencies working. They rounded up a lot of people. Over 150 state, federal, local law enforcement officials involved in this these arrests in Starr County and also in Hidalgo County around McAllen. One of them, of course, was this Justice of the Peace. This is an investigation that started in June of 2020. The indictment's under seal. It's supposed to be unsealed, I think, late today or something as they bring these people before a judge. It all has to do with drug trade. And one of them, the JP, Justice of the Peace, in Starr County being picked up in that. Four people, two dogs found dead in an RV after graphic images posted on social media. Aransas Pass police say KSAT says that a juvenile had posted pictures of his dead relatives and threatened a school in Aransas Pass in the area there. Anyway, they went and responded to this RV, and Ingleside Police Department tracked him there. They asked him to exit the RV. He refused, and then they heard a single gunshot and him falling to the floor. So apparently it was a big murder-suicide. We don't really have any more information other than that. A mother and two children, including an infant, were hospitalized after a house fire in Clyde. And we don't know their condition. That reported by KRBC, probably smoke inhalation. Be careful. And out of Lubbock, or out of actually Hockley County, a grand jury in Levelland indicted Omar Soto Chavira, the suspect in the deadly July standoff that killed Lubbock County Sheriff Sergeant Josh Bartlett and severely wounded Levelland Police Officer Sean Wilson. This reported by EverythingLubbock.com and reported that the Hockley County DA, Angela Overman, lead prosecutor, said she'll seek the death penalty. She'll seek a capital. She said, if he's convicted, we will ask for the death penalty. And that's right. And a man's been charged in a Comal County teen's 1993 cold case killing. You're not going to get away with it. Brazoria man's in custody, according to the DPS, after the murder of the 28-year-old homicide of San Antonio teenager Emily Jeanette Garcia. They've arrested Thomas Ray Galindo. He's 50 now. Arrested him in his home in Brazoria. The U.S. Marshals picked him up. Charged with killing the 15-year-old Garcia in February of 1993. He was 21. They knew each other at the time. Bangs has let their police chief go, and that means they have no police force down in Bangs. The KTEX is reporting this. Ex-chief of police Jorge Camarillo was let go for multiple reasons. This includes not responding to calls, not good for a police chief or in the whole department, not logging evidence into an evidence locker at City Hall, not locking the police department's guns in an appropriate locker, and not wearing a bulletproof vest or a body camera. and they're already recruiting and have interviews set up, and that means they have no police force in Bangs. And in the Breckenridge American, there was a fun picture. City hired a crew of goats, 150 rented goats, that are chewing up all the overgrown areas of parts of city property. And a lot of people think this means it's free. Well, it's not. You know what the cost of this is? $17,652 for a couple of, I don't know, a few weeks or something to eat this stuff, but it was fun to watch. City of Anson, no ambulance service there. Some locals who were EMTs tried to raise money to put a local ambulance service in, but Permian Basin Ambulance apparently just quit. Said the city manager in Anson said they breached their current contract with the city over finances and withdrew. I think surrounding towns, Abilene and others, trying to help out. Former Houston Police Chief Art Acevedo, who you remember was brought to Texas by the liberals at the city of Austin and was there for years. He loves the camera, loves being a star. And, of course, then he became the Houston Police Chief, fourth largest city in America. You know, he loves the camera. He's a liberal. He happens to be a Cuban of Cuban ancestry. But he's not conservative, he's a liberal. And he's in trouble in Miami. The Houston Chronicle telling us former Houston Chief Art Acevedo already facing scrutiny in Miami. When he left Houston, he was sworn in as Miami Chief in April. The mayor there, Suarez, boasted the city had hired the Michael Jordan of police chiefs. No, they hired a left-wing media darling. Anyway, 5 months later, Acevedo appears to be on the hot seat in his new job after a series of gaffes. City commissioners have called for a special meeting in Miami to question him, decide his future. Oh, he's done it all. I mean, even making a joke across the police force of the Cuban mafia, not knowing that that's the term the Castro regime used to denigrate all the freedom-loving Cubans that left. And Miami Commissioner Joe Carollo, and he issued an apology, saying, well, I grew up in Los Angeles, and I'm a proud Cuban-American, blah, 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 blah. I didn't know any of this. And Miami Commissioner Joe Carollo, who told the Miami Herald he must be the only individual with a Cuban background in the world that didn't know the Cuban dictatorship, called us the Cuban mafia. So Acevedo is already in the deep. Lubbock County denies data breach, says data temporarily accessible under new software system. This is from KCBD. Folks, I know all about this. I've spoken with insiders about this a couple of days ago, but this is shameful on the, I guess it technically may be right on the part of Judge Curtis Parrish in Lubbock County. Serious private information was available on websites to the public, and the public discovered the error. I must tell you, you got pushed into spending millions for IT stuff and changing and all this. This was purely, I guess it's not a data breach, except it is a data breach because the public was able to go see it and multiple people went and looked at people's stuff. Not just Social Security numbers. I mean, we're talking stuff with children, anything to do with court cases and divorces, you name it, it was out there. I guess a hacker didn't breach it, but they didn't do their job right. So Lubbock County citizens, you know, you're getting another tax increase. And remember how we got put into this new IT deal? This was all due to incompetence. Absolute mistake, my understanding is, from what I've been told by the IT folks there, the computing people that created this situation, and it's not good. Oh, let's see. Texas Tech System has announced a search committee for the new Midwestern State University president. I was glad Mark Griffin, I think, is going to chair that, or he put out the word on the committee. Yeah, he will chair that. Then Glenn Barham, former mayor and a good friend of the show, mayor in Wichita Falls on that committee. A whole bunch of other people are. I'm sure that'll be in your local media. And let's see, what else? Oh, Lieutenant Governor Patrick says property tax is his number one finance priority in the third special session. The problem is the governor hasn't put it on the call. Will he? Who knows? Back in a moment on Pratt on Texas.
Don't like the breaks? Some say the breaks are better than Pratt. But then again, those folks don't listen.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem. Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually.
You can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. HurleyBenefits.com. HURLEY Benefits.com.
The Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas brings you news and commentary of the Lone Star State without all the wasted time and staff chit-chat. Now, here's your Texas anchorman, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, ladies and gentlemen. Attorney General Paxton secured temporary restraining order against Paris ISD in the mask mandate lawsuit. Judge made clear there that they're not legal to do that, and they've got a TRO against them. There was an interesting piece at the... It's the public radio. I think Texas Standard. I think that's it. Their news outlet for public radio stations around the state. Ken Paxton is suing multiple Texas school districts over mask mandates, but are they true mandates? Really interesting how some of these mandates just say should and there's no enforcement of them. So if you're fighting that in your area, you might want to double check that, because they talk this SMU law guy and he says, well, you can't. You know, a lot of these aren't enforceable, and then he makes, and they focused on that a lot of these so-called mandates aren't mandates if you read them carefully. Now, the bureaucrats never understand that, and you get in a big fight, and they, you know, want to throw you out and all that other. I've dealt with that kind of thing all my life. People, not even people in positions of authority, even with advanced degrees, not understanding language or anything else. The interesting part of this piece wasn't what they focused on in the headline. It was the Dale Carpenter at SMU, chairman of their constitutional law chair there, said that under the statute, school districts and counties, he said, have a good claim to say that under statute, they have a power to deal with public health emergencies and are given power under statute as well. So what the real question is whose authority is greater, the governor's or theirs? That's really the big thing. They didn't focus on that in the story, but that's actually the important part of that story that they did. I don't know if it's KUT or where, but at the Texas Standard, because that's what this is going to come down to, because statute does give local governments to some degree certain authorities. Oh, let's take a look at Texas History Today, sponsored by our friends at USA Investigations, providing professional surveillance, witness interviews and statements, and much more. Investigate for more at usainvestigations.net. In 1810, well, by the way, happy Independence Day for those of you of Mexican citizenship. My wife is still a Mexican citizen. This is Mexico's Independence Day, the 16th of September, Día de Septiembre. And when you ever go to one of the deals, it's fun. We used to have a big one in Lubbock when we had a Mexican consulate every year, and they do the grito, el grito, which is the cry. Well, that's because it was this day in 1810 that Father Miguel Hidalgo y Costillo and several hundred of his parishioners seized the prison at Dolores, Mexico. This was the beginning of Mexico's struggle for independence from Spain. And in 1825, the Republic of Mexico officially declared 16 September as its National Day of Independence. And they used to have big things in some Texas cities for this every year. Also, this is the day in 1888 that El Paso del Norte was renamed Ciudad Juarez, the city of Juarez, in honor of the Mexican President Benito Juarez, their Lincoln, the savior of the Republic. So the name El Paso was left to that little place north of the Rio Grande, which we now know, of course, as El Paso. It's also the day in 1940 that Sam Rayburn was elected Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives. He served for 17 years. Look at Texas History, sponsored by our friends at USA Investigations. Investigate for more at usainvestigations.net. Big news out of the political stack, the campaign stack. Republican Matt Krause, he is a Fort Worth state rep. He is one of the founders of the Freedom Caucus, I think, down in the Texas House. Matt, every story I've read out there except for one tells us that he's a constitutional lawyer, and yes, his house district's 93. It's in Tarrant County in Fort Worth. It's one of the fastest growing districts. It'll be all changed up. Very fast growing. It's 27,000 in the census over its number. So he won't be running for reelection for a sixth term. He's going to jump in with P. Bush and former Supreme Court Justice Eva Guzman to run against Paxton. He gives the same story everybody does, sort of. But he's a supporter, Paxton was, and all this. It's just too many distractions. This could be costly to the party. He says that that grassroots people have been telling we need a conservative in that race, because it is true. P. Bush and Guzman are not part of the conservative group at all philosophically. Matt Krause maybe is, maybe isn't anymore. It's hard to tell. He used to work for, I think he used to work for First Liberty. He's got big, you know, jobs suing the federal government and stuff for people's rights. And what I thought was interesting was that nobody, they all call him in every place, even the conservative outlets, constitutional lawyer. He's a VP at a bank in Tarrant County is what he's been doing for years. So not putting him down. I'm just saying it's interesting that they all left that out. And I'll tell you who didn't leave it out. The Dallas Morning News got it right. They actually did a little better job than some of the other local media. This is a big story. It really does matter in this upcoming race. And I told you, I don't know whether Ken Paxton will win or not. I don't know. I hadn't made up my mind. I like him. He's been a really good attorney general. There are issues there. Most of these things he appears to be innocent of. They won't let him have his day in court. He's been asking for it for years. I get suspect when we have people who claim to be part of the conservative movement act like liberals and rhinos who just always want to turn. Every time anybody alleges something about somebody, we have to kick them out. The left rarely does that, and it's one of the reasons we kick a lot of good people out, because oftentimes these things turn out not to be true. And I'm a little bothered by Matt Krause jumping in that race and the things he said about it, because he's really just saying the same things the rest of them do in all of his quotes that he gave to the various media outlets. I think he's very young and aggressive, and he's not getting that much pull in the House, and I think he probably, it's a career move. Personally, he obviously wants it, and that's fine, but when we turn on our own, when they're just being beaten up by the left, and that includes the media, and nothing's been proven, I think it's a mistake, but who knows? We'll see. It's going to be an interesting race. Harrison County, according to the Marshall News Messenger, thanks to one of our listener club, I saw references to this, but one of our listener club members in Wichita Falls, Monique, sent me the story from the Marshall News Messenger in East Texas. Harrison County GOP censures State Rep. Chris Patty. Local party chair said he'd been invited to the meetings, the party meetings, several times to answer questions about his representation of House District 9, but he hadn't shown up. Said he hadn't even responded to our request. And then you get Patty, who has kind of turned into one of these insider leadership crowd guys, given all this high and mighty talk in the story about it, it's shameful that, well, we're passing Republican priorities, these people are doing this. Look, it's real simple. If you can't even talk to the local party, you don't have any right to expect any different treatment, Representative Patty, and you haven't been that conservative. I've been watching you. And they say he hadn't supported the party's platform, so he was censured under the Republican rules that allow for that, and that'll be forwarded to the State Republican Executive Committee. And they got a long, long list of stuff that they're unhappy about. That's you got Cass, Marion, Panola, Sabine, and Shelby, and Harrison County's in that HD9. I just thought the arrogance of Patty, the way he talked, it'll play with a lot of people that don't know better. Forget all that stuff. The real important thing is that he's been invited all the time, and he attacks them. Patty does, but he's been invited to talk with them, and you know these things can get settled behind in a meeting a lot of times, but he's too arrogant. Not only has not come, he hadn't even responded to the request. Now, that's just a kick in the teeth. Representative Patty deserves the censure then. Just for that alone, forget all the issues they brought up. This is a real problem. I've spent my whole life in and around this stuff, and there are certain people that they think, doesn't matter. They're happy to use the party and its volunteers to get elected. After that, they represent the, you know, the hoity-toity crowd and the civic cheerleaders, and they don't give a darn. Well, you want that R by your name or that D by your name, you better be willing to sit down with these folks as family and talk things out. But Chris Patty didn't do that. The fact he wouldn't even respond to them, that tells me all I need to know about it. Back in a moment on Pratt on Texas.
Pratt on Texas continues after this.
A Texas Aggie from the big country said he visited Dr. Sylvia Zuniga at Dental Care in Costa Rica, spent about $7,000 on the entire trip with his wife, and yet saved over $5,000. He asked, how could it be any better? Our Aggie friend and listener wrote, thank you for recommending Sylvia. Her work and service was what you said it would be. Very good. It took me several months of listening to you and researching on the internet to finally decide to do it. So glad I did. Learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at PrattonTexas.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a man so important other talk show hosts listen to his show, even while they're on the air. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, ladies and gentlemen. I've got more in the political campaign stack, but I need to jump over. I'll get back to it as time allows. Let's get over to the Texas fetal heartbeat law stuff. The judge, again, this Robert Pittman, he's an Obama appointee. He's a far lefty liberal. You can pretty well guess what he's going to do. The Department of Justice came in and tried to get an emergency deal to get make Texas stop protecting the lives of little babies. And he didn't move as quickly as they wanted to. The U.S. District Judge there, the Obama appointee, Pittman, who's the Pitts, issued an order setting a date for an emergency motion filed by governor lawyers. In other words, he's going to have a hearing on, they've got to respond, I think, by September 29th and have the hearing on October 1st. And so he didn't move as fast as they wanted. Of course, some of this is because there's already been some speaking to this from the Fifth Circuit, which is over him. So we'll see. The Fifth Circuit said this stuff needs to be all done through the state courts first before it jumps up. So we'll see. But now that the Department of Justice, the Biden administration's gotten involved, they didn't get their immediate restraining order or anything. They got a hearing for October 1st out of Pittman. But Pittman will end up going along with the left unless he has to clamp down on it just because the Fifth Circuit's already made some statements. That would be the only thing that would stop him. He is a radical lefty. Texas abortion law strains clinics. Exactly what we feared, end quote. Big Associated Press piece. Subhead. That was the headline. Subhead. Abortion providers in Texas say they have seen a sharp drop in patients in the 2 weeks since the nation's strictest abortion law took effect. Number one, when you're going in there to kill a baby, you're not there as a patient. I mean, I'm sorry. The baby's not a sickness. The baby is not an illness. You're not a patient. And it's typical. The whole thing is a sob story. One at Planned Parenthood clinics in Houston had 63 patients scheduled for an abortion, far fewer than the roughly 25 they would normally perform in a single day alone. They think this is okay. So the law's taken effect. That's right. They said in the 10 days, they still had 63. They still performed 63 abortions. So obviously, even living up to the fetal heartbeat law, it does not do what they keep claiming and stop all abortions and access to abortion for females. It does not. But can you believe that? We're supposed to feel sorry because they normally do 25 baby murders a day. And they're only down to 63 over 10 days. In Dallas, Dr. Allison Gilbert said 13 of her colleagues were temporarily sent to a sister clinic in New Mexico to help with an influx of Texas patients. And her own clinic will inevitably close if the law is not struck down. Clinic? Clinic? You're not there healing anybody. Having a child grow a creation of God is not a sickness. And it's what I'm telling you, though. That's why I called this the Lone Star story of the day. There are all these stories out there. A full accounting of the decline in Texas abortions. And how many women are now seeking them elsewhere is not known. More than 19,000. Abortions were reported in Texas through April, according to the state agency that tracks it. Through April, 19,000. That's 19,000 human beings with their lives snuffed out solely in almost every case statistically. There's almost, folks, don't get into this rape and incest stuff. And in those cases, what's it mean? The baby's not responsible for how it was created. But nevertheless, very few of those involve any of that. This is killing babies for the convenience of the living, who created them. You know, they can take this big decision now to snuff out a life, but they couldn't take the little decision to not go hook up and get it on outside of marriage or a commitment to raise up a child. Oh, that's old-fashioned talking. Well, that was the norm for most of the Western world until just a few decades ago. Now, Portland has scrapped its Texas boycott, probably because everybody figured out we don't care. And instead, they've set aside $200,000 of taxpayer money in Portland, Oregon, to fund what they call reproductive care. But of course, abortion is the opposite of reproductive care; it's the cessation of all reproduction. The new plan was passed 4-1. Commissioner Mingus Mapps cast the only no vote, saying he was generally mystified by what the city council was trying to accomplish by allocating $200,000 for abortion. Quote, our city's overwhelmed. This is Portland, Oregon, remember. Our city's overwhelmed by multiple crises. This council should focus on solving those. We have a gun violence crisis. We have a homeless crisis. We have a trash crisis. We have a pandemic. Of course, he didn't mention the riots and all the other, because he's a fellow lefty. But he just couldn't see spending $200,000. And then you get New York's new governor, this woman asking Facebook to censor, actually sending a letter wanting them to censor what she calls misinformation about pro-life. In other words, these people are openly asking for a totalitarian world we live in now, where they get to set the limits of what other people are allowed to say. But our Lone Star story of the day, by the way, brought to you by Allied Compliance Services, AlliedCompliance.com. You truckers, you need to be cleared up with the clearinghouse, trucking companies, individuals. They'll handle all that for you. Other businesses, they'll run your drug and alcohol testing. AlliedCompliance.com sponsors our Lone Star story of the day. But all these stories, every story I read, it's all about the inconvenience to these people. Oh, they might have to drive to New Mexico. They might have to wait a little while. What? And isn't it? I mean, you have to wreck it. Whether you think it's okay to have an abortion or not, or whatever, obviously there's a real serious problem with abortion when they always have to essentially leave out the part that it's killing a baby. I mean, everything's focused on the convenience of these people and not upon the lives lost of these children. And then you get the typical, an AP national story, David Crary, some abortion foes question tactical wisdom of new Texas ban. This is your typical fake conservatives, or in this case, fake pro-life people. You get it all the time on everything. It's kind of like the old John McCain stuff about Republicans or whatever. Or it's just crazy. And they talked to a guy at Fordham University, which used to be a great Jesuit school. It's gone lefty like most of these. Charles Camosi, theological professor and social ethics at Fordham. He says, because this law appears to be playing legal games to get around rulings of federal courts, the law feeds the false narrative that pro-lifers don't have public opinion on our side, and he's all against it. You get these kind of naysayers all the time. And of course, the media is going to pick up on them. A National Catholic Reporter, an independent news outlet, one of its guys, Winters, says, I'm as pro-life can be, but I detest the pro-life movement. You're not pro-life if you detest. That is a strong word. Remember, this guy that makes his living with words, detest the pro-life movement. He thinks that because we stood up for life in Texas on this bill, that it's energized the pro-choice, the pro-abortion movement. He even calls them pro-choice instead of pro-abortion. See, he's not pro-life. But they did finally in this piece get to some right things. Pro-lifers who oppose Texas SB 8 play to lose. That's right. Or rather, they play the part of controlled opposition, paying lip service to the unborn, but not actually acting like real lives are at stake every single day, said Chad Pecknold, associate professor of theology at the Catholic University of America. He's got it right. These are like the Rhino Republicans. They play act at it. Texas Catholic Conference of Bishops said, we celebrate every life saved by this legislation. Abortion does not help women. Abortion is never the answer. It's always the violent taking of an innocent human life. Period. That's right. And there are others. I talked to Jeffries at First Baptist Dallas. He's not sure whether we want to be able to pay these rewards to people from suing over it, but he said, overall, I'm very supportive of and grateful for this strong affirmation of the value of life by our Texas lawmakers. Another Southern Baptist Convention former guy, Bethencourt, said that one community will be universally thankful for this law, those preborn children for whom this law will mean life instead of death. Anyway, so you got a big hearing coming up on October 1st. We'll be back in a moment.
He gets so much in during the show, you can handle a short break. Pratt's back in a moment.
Jake's Sports Cafe is Lubbock's location for food, sports, beer, and live music. Grub down at Jake's Sports Cafe with drink and eat specials from breakfast to late night. See the menu at jakesbackroom.com. Jake's has been a Lubbock staple for live music and sports for over a decade, with the back room hosting everything from Republican meetings to the hardest of metal and rollingest of rock. Jake's Sports Cafe and back room at 50th and Slide.
Vista Bank salutes the entrepreneurs, the brave souls who stared down the crisis of a generation and declared, "This economy won't fail on my watch." Leading the world's greatest economic comeback, you can breathe a little easier, but you won't. That's why we serve you. That's why we bank you. Entrepreneurs banking entrepreneurs since 1912. Vista Bank. People first.
There is a delicious treasure in Abilene not to be missed. It's Bell's Chicken Dinner House, where homemade, fresh, mouthwatering fried chicken and chicken fried steak, fabulous veggies, served family style with yeast rolls, and unbeatable homemade desserts are created for your dining pleasure. Bell's Chicken Dinner House, an Abilene treasure, is open to serve you lunch and dinner Thursday through Saturday, and open Sunday for that perfect traditional after church lunch. Enjoy Bell's Chicken Dinner House Thursday through Sunday at Ambler and the Winters Freeway in Abilene.
No personality worship here. Here is your host, Robert Pratt, with more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. I will get back to that stack of campaign and political news in a moment. Other big news, though, the state, and I told you this was coming, I told you last week, and they did indeed on their meeting this morning, the Texas Facilities Commission awarded a contract to oversee construction of a barrier along the border. It's really multiple barriers. And it's the joint venture I told you about between the design firm and the engineering firm, Michael Baker International and Hewitt Zollers. Now, I told you that I had long heard that as Wheat Zollers. It's H-U-I-T-T. I understand it looks like Hewitt. And that I finally figured out where. They're headquartered in Dallas, I think. They've done some major projects, and I'm an architecture buff. And at one point or another, somebody in the Dallas media was calling them Wheat Zollers years ago. And I could see that, too. It may be, you know, a way to say that, but it's not. I've double-checked. It is Hewitt Zollers. So they're getting an $11 million deal just to manage budgets, ID wall. It's just the preliminary stuff, okay? So they did award that contract today. August migrant apprehensions jumped 312% over prior year. Border Patrol agents apprehended nearly 200,000 illegal aliens who've crossed the border just in the month of August. 200,000. Do you begin to see the numbers here? You're going to in a moment as to how successfully the left is using this to remake the country, to try to dilute all the traditional North American, particularly unique to the United States of America, ideas. Because people coming in here may be good people and everything, but they're not schooled in the ideas of the American Revolution. This is an increase of 312% over the same month in 2020. 200,000. Folks, I mean, we're talking millions of people. Rio Grande Valley sector in South Texas is seeing massive increases. It's the busiest again. Del Rio sector has jumped into second place as the busiest for crossing. The federal fiscal year began on October 1st, right, of last year. Between October 1st and August 31st, Border Patrol agents, these are just the people they caught. Not all the getaways, because they don't catch lots of people. They caught almost 1.5 million people. Do you understand? Think about that. That's bigger. That's considerably bigger than the city of Austin. It's right below the million mark. Do you understand now how these people are using this to completely illegitimately change the nature of our country and who we're made up of, and why they want to tug at your heartstrings and give everybody some kind of amnesty so they can vote eventually, whether it's now or 10 years from now, 15 years from now. It doesn't matter to them because they know they've done it. This is insane. Now over about 8,000 of these illegal aliens, mostly from Haiti, are now under that border bridge being held by the feds under and outdoors under the border bridge, right, with their own excrement and everything else. down in Del Rio. Randy Clark, Breitbart, Texas, has exclusive photos of it up today. You've had stories all week that's 3,000, 4,000, 5,000. Last night they said the total was 7,074, but they just use a whiteboard marking it, and it's and they believe it. They say it's pretty inaccurate, but they think it's over 8,000, about 8,000 now. And they don't think they can handle it. That's people from Haiti. That's not Central Americans. That's because we put out the word everywhere with Biden that, hey, you can get in here. So everywhere where they won't fight for their own freedom, and I'm sorry, that hurt. That makes people mad. But Haiti, we've given billions and billions and billions. A little beautiful island. The corruption is so endemic. There are great people from there. Some here have come here and made are fantastic Americans. But I have a little bit of a problem when people won't ever seem to fight in their own country, especially a little country where just a few thousand would make a huge difference, fight for their own country to fix the problems. They're just all pouring into here. And we've got over 8,000 of them sitting under a bridge outdoors in Texas, on the border. Now, there was a ruling yesterday, Federal Appeals Court, this was at the Fifth Circuit, is a panel, I believe, and it was a panel made up of what do you expect, Obama appointee, another Obama appointee, and we've heard from this Greg Costa before. He's terrible on the appeals court, lefty terrible. He was the lead person here, and James Graves, another Obama appointee, and the third member of it was a George W. Bush appointee, who is Leslie Southwick, who's apparently, like a lot of those Bush appointees, not worth a darn either. So the appeals court allowed Biden administration's selective criteria on who should be deported to remain in effect, rejecting one of Texas' challenges to the president's immigration policies. This was not the Fifth Circuit in Bonk. This was a three-judge panel. The administration's victory may prove temporary, the AP writes, if Texas or Louisiana successfully seek intervention of the U.S. Supreme Court. Three-judge panel reversed a decision last month by the federal judge in Corpus Christi that declared Biden administration's interim enforcement priorities illegal. Now, here's what's interesting, and why you know this is not really the law, it's pure politics. The interim priorities are expected to be superseded by final guidance this month, adhere closely to President Obama's directives, and represent a sharp departure from those of Trump. So we've seen it over and over. In other words, because we're liberals, Obama had the right as a president to introduce these things, but Trump didn't. Remember how they treated Trump and his policies? And now Biden can just come in and go back the other way. But Trump was sued by these same leftists over and over every time he tried to, especially on immigration, when he tried to override some order that the previous administration had made. It is, again, Judge Greg Acosta, Costa. He wrote the opinion on there, and he says it's within the president's authority. You can't trust him at all. Probably can't trust, obviously, that George W. Bush appointee either, or the other Obama appointee there. We'll see where that goes. But that was a bit of an interesting ruling out from the Fifth Circuit, overturning a very good ruling by a federal judge in Corpus Christi. Back to the political and campaign stack, in HD 10, the governor set the runoff for that House district race for September 28th. This is former State Rep Ray and the conservative there, Harrison, in this race. They're going at each other. Harrison's saying Ray doctored a video and put it up that completely, it was a big discussion. They covered it in the Texan.news about public education, but apparently the Ray campaign took snippets of the video to make it appear to make it say the opposite of what he actually said, and apparently that may be true according to the reporters that looked at it. But then also Ray put out a picture of Harrison's campaign literature and says, look, you lied, and apparently he did. He said he had the endorsement of the National Rifle Association. He probably just had a grade, which is not the same as an endorsement. And a lot of candidates make a big mistake on that. In fact, the NRA sent an email to supporters in the district clarifying that Ray's the only candidate endorsed by the NRA, and that's NRA goes with the proven. Even if they know another guy may be better, Ray's an old insider. He's not a super conservative by any means. We don't really need him back in the House. I think Brian Harrison probably is the real conservative, but NRA, if you voted with them before, they take care of you, and that's an important policy. It works out well in the end. Dan Crenshaw had this huge deal. It's like a CPAC, but just built around him. There was a really big piece in Politico today about that. You might want to go look at Congressman Crenshaw out of Houston. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis stepping on Abbott's turf. He's having a campaign event in Dallas at the home of billionaire Kenny Trout and his wife Lisa. So DeSantis is on the move, having a big fundraiser in Texas. And there was some interesting polling out from McLaughlin and Associates showing that if the election were held today, Trump would beat Harris as VP. And boy, you talk about Biden losing support across the board on with all these people, even Democrats, almost every group sees he's feeble and unable to act. Well, my friends, that's it for today. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.